God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. Let's just say that together. I know, let's try it again. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. God is so good to me. Amen. That's some good singing. I get a Presbyterian to shout after that, I tell you. And I hope that's going through your heart and mind through this week. As you just start going through a time of difficulty, just start singing to the Lord and quote Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and for those that are called, the called according to His purpose. And God will don't do a thing unless it's for your good and for His glory. Amen. Luke chapter 22 this morning, Luke chapter 22. And this has been on my heart and mind all week from this passage. And we go to Luke 22, we're going closer to the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is in Jerusalem and He's up there. He's at the upper room, and Luke 22, as what you heard for our scripture reading, records Peter's greatest failure. Now, I don't want to beat on Peter this morning, because I want to see him in heaven someday. Peter was a tremendous apostle. He was used of the Lord. But Luke 22 is the record of his denial of the Lord. We heard in the scripture reading how it started, where he followed afar off. And by the way, that's how backsliding starts. You start to fall off, and you're following, but it's at a distance. You're not directly identifying yourself with the Lord, and he's following afar off. And as you heard, Jesus is taken to the hall, but Peter is outside warming himself by the fire. He is fulfilling his own needs there of the flesh, and he's there in that situation, following afar off, focused on himself, where, if I may say this plainly in a sports reference, Peter dropped the ball. Three times. The first time he said, "I know him not," denying someone that he knew so well. The second thing he said was, "I am not," denying what he was in Christ. The third time, there's an escalation. You won't find it in Luke 22, but in Matthew 26:74. At that time, he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." What a denial. What a difficult situation to see someone that was so close to the Lord. The Bible tells us that immediately while he spake, can you picture the scene? There in prophecy, the cock crowed, and then Peter fell under conviction. Verse 61 of Luke 22, did you notice that? As Craig was reading, I noticed that as he was speaking, immediately there, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. We don't know if he was passing by or if at the hall he turned his way and got eye contact. And Peter fell under conviction, remembered the word of the Lord, went out and wept bitterly. But I'm glad that's not the end of the story. Because our God is the God of second chances. Peter denied, but he also had what we'll call a do-over. Now, in sports, a do-over is a second or otherwise additional chance to try something that was previously tried unsuccessfully. Hey, that's me down at the mini golf range or any golf range, messing something up and getting a mulligan. Now, a mulligan as a sermon title doesn't sound as good as a do-over, but there are times that you can have a do-over. Now, Peter could not rewind time. How many of y'all felt like, "I just wish I could rewind the last 10 minutes or a couple years or, you know, 35 years of your life," whatever it may be. But you can't rewind and redo, but you can refocus and repent on the next opportunity to obey God. You may be here this morning and there may have been some faults and failures in your life. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God is the God of the second chance, third chance, to infinity in this life, chances. If you're here this morning and you're alive, there's hope and there's help for the future. You know, God loves people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The blood of Jesus was shed for every single person here today. You've never gone too far. You've never done too much. God loves you. There's always a way back. God cares about you. He gives second chances. In Luke chapter 22, let's look at how the Lord led and how the Lord not only gave this opportunity in the future, but He prophesied there at that first failure. But in Luke 22, they're about to leave the supper, the Last Supper. The Lord had already girded Himself with a loincloth. He's washed the disciples' feet, showing and demonstrating that humility. And he revealed at that time through the Last Supper that his body would be broken and his blood shed. But after that time, he also revealed to them that one of them sitting there would betray him. All but one, that's John, wonders, is it I? Is it I? Verse 24, there was a strife among them. They went from wondering who would betray the Lord to now to the extreme other side of it. Who would be the best? Who would be the one that's closest to the Lord? And this is a scene of communion, then confusion, now contention. And it's as if the Lord has to get the attention of Simon Peter. Look at verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. All right, Simon, let's stop this. Behold, look, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus looks at Peter, who's boasting, and he says, Peter, Satan wants to have you, but I'm prayed for you, that your faith fail not. I'm prophesying your failure, but I'm prophesying and praying for a future. Now, if you're here in this life, there will be times of failure. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In fact, if you say you have no faults or failures, that's a major flaw, and that's called pride and arrogance in the evil way. This morning, from our failures, there's a future. And you may have done something in the past, but there is a future. And you could be like the Apostle Paul who said, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes, I've done a lot of bad things, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto that which the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. He had to recognize that he had to forget that past and focus on the future. Let me take you to the Word of God this morning, because I believe the help and healing only happens through Scripture. Amen. It's not going to be my psychological pop talk or anything like that. It's going to be the Word of God that gives you hope for the future. Amen. Notice, first of all, the Lord lays out the intention of Satan, and the devil desires to destroy you. The devil desires to deceive you. The devil desires to corrupt and control your life. Look at verse number 31. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Did you know the devil's desire is to have you? And that if you're saved, washed by the blood of the Lamb, he cannot take your soul, but he can take your testimony. He can take that fellowship. He can take that future opportunities and service to the Lord. And it's the desire of the devil to control you, to have you. The Lord looks at Simon Peter and says, now don't think you're too big. Don't think you can't fall, Peter. The devil desires to have you. Now, notice he did not say Peter, he said Simon. Twice. The only time in the New Testament we see the Savior calling his name out twice. He's trying to get his attention, and perhaps he's trying to remind him of his old man. He says Simon. Now remember in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord is there by area called the gates of hell there at Capernaum, and he gathers his disciples and says, whom do men say that I am? And they begin to say, well, you're a prophet, you're a teacher, you're Elijah. And he says, but whom do you say that I am? Silence until Peter stands up and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right. Amen. He knew it. The Lord looked at him and said, thou said well, Simon Bar-Jonah. I'm going to get that in a little bit. He's the son of Jonah. He says, Simon Bar-Jonah, you say well. And because you have said such, he says unto them, I say unto thee, now thou art Peter. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's speaking of himself. He's speaking of that confession. And he says, you are a rock. You are Peter. I am the rock, but you're standing on me. You are Peter. And no more, Simon, you are Peter. And he says, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What a recognition and what a name change to Peter. But now he does not call him Peter. He calls him Simon. There are times that we don't live up to our name. There are times that we don't live up to our full potential. There are even times that we can act like we're not even saved. Peter was being a Simon and not a Peter. The Lord says, pay attention, Simon, your adversary wants to have you. Your adversary wants to control you. Understand today, the devil is desiring to have you. How? Well, he wants your mind. We're to put on the mind of Christ. He wants your morals. He wants your affection. He wants your heart. And you know that Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. And that's in reference to anger in our life, that we can allow anger in our life, and it can so consume us that now we're not even thinking straight, and the devil now is controlling that emotion. It's interesting here that he says this Satan desires to have you. He's not speaking singularly to Peter. It's a plural pronoun, and it's to all of them. He's saying that Satan desires to have Simon Peter, but he also wants each of you. He's sitting at the table. They're bragging. They're boasting. They're fighting. They're wondering who will betray. And he says, Simon, Simon, Satan wants to have you. Not just you, but you and you and you. He wants to have all of you. He wants to control you. He wants to corrupt you. Think about it this morning. He wants to involve you, sir, in immorality, pornography, fornication, and adultery. He wants you to allow anger, wrath, bitterness, unrighteousness, evil communications. He wants to allow that into your life. He wants you to direct doubt in your life. And not deal with it in faith, but to direct it and continue to the point where there can be a denial. He wants to tempt you to take and to be involved in things and to lie and to steal. He wants to encourage you to abuse and to use. This is what the devil desires for you. And it's not for your fun. It's for your destruction. Amen. He wants to destroy you. Jesus is saying that Satan hath desired. The thought is that Satan had to go to the Father and request permission. The devil can't do anything unless God gives him permission, by the way. And just like he did about Job, Satan went to the very throne area of God and asked for permission to try, tempt the disciples and especially Peter. And just like Job, God said yes. Now, God did not say yes to destroy Peter, but to develop Peter. God allows trials and temptation into our lives to prove us and to point us towards a hope and to a future. And he says this, God has allowed Satan to sift you, to start the sifting process. Now, those that are involved in farming, and it is a beautiful time of year, amen? I tell you, I drove by a cotton field this morning and just said glory to God. It was beautiful. And it's just a beautiful time of year, a beautiful weather, amen? I'm finally liking it. I can live in it. I'm not just covered in a full sweat by the time I get to my car. It's just a little bit of sweat. But no, I enjoy it, and I love this time of year. It's a fall year. It's, of course, we're gathering and gleaning, and it's everything that's going on. Well, in this season, there was wheat. And, of course, the idea of sifting would have been the workers that went out and gathered the grain with a sifter. And this sifter would first take it and beat down the grain until the side stems fell off. That first process removed the major obvious areas that was not wheat. And then they would continue to beat it, and then they would lift up the wheat and throw it into the air. And when they threw it into the air, the wheat, because it had weight, would fall to the ground and would remain. But the chaff, the wind would blow away. It's actually interesting. That's where the idea of the devil with a pitchfork came from. That's the pitchfork would have been the sifter. And you know, the devil has a pitchfork and a sifter for you and for me. Satan wanted to stomp these disciples out. He wanted to scatter these disciples through the wind of persecution and problems. And he was convinced that if he could start with the leader, by the way, that's why he affects the father in the home. That's what he aims towards, the pastor in a church. That's what he starts against, that teacher, because if he can get the leader, everybody else will follow and fall. He requests Simon. He said, may I specifically sift Simon? The Lord says yes. I believe that every Christian at some point will go through some sort of sifting process in your life. It may be a trial. Have you ever felt beat down in a trial? That's a sifting process to reveal what's really there. Have you ever felt like you've been thrown and cast aside in the air, and all of a sudden there's winds of false doctrine, and there's winds of temptations, and there's winds of issues that come into your life? It's there to sift and to show what you are. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." Now, what does that mean? Not every day you're going to have a direct attack from the enemy. By the way, the devil is not omnipresent. He has demonic forces. A third of heaven fell. I believe they operate under his direction and under his, demonic attack. But only a third of heaven fell, which means they're outnumbered 2-1, amen, by the angels. And, of course, we have more power. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But there are times where certain Christians, and I believe because of the world we live in, we're going to face this more and more in the age we live in. But we'll go through a sifting process. There'll be an evil day. Not every day will be that attack of the evil one, but there can be an evil day that you are affected by. I'm not going to go into detail, but Monday was one of those days for us. In fact, we may have to remove this later from the radio. I don't know, but many of you may know the story that there is an issue with someone nearby that is obviously under an influence. We got a call that morning, and we walked outside, and the individual has called with different things. She may be under some kind of alcoholic or some kind of mind issue, but she looked out, and she saw some cats in the driveway, and she called in that there were dead cats everywhere. Unusual, huh? We got a call that there were children locked in the car. It's fun, isn't it? 911 was called, and that's always interesting to deal with that. And so when they were called, and of course we knew who it was instantly. She had gone online and said something like, "If I went out and killed somebody, I could always plead insanity and people would believe me." She's probably right about that. See, she wrote that, "I see dead people." No, take that back. "I see people I want dead." Ooh, I hope it's not us. You know, there can be fear, not knowing what to face. Can I just be transparent with you this morning? Just me, you, the radio, the internet, and everybody else that will watch this service later on, but sometimes it's difficult. Amen. The process of being the sifter is not easy. It's Monday morning. That's not a great time to be attacked by the enemy, and it was very confusing. There were all these things coming on, but the officer's running up saying, "Where are the dead cats? Where are the dead cats?" And there's no, the cats are just there, and everybody's taken care of, and it really got taken care of a little bit later on that day when he went over and corrected her, praise the Lord. But I stood there, and I'll just be transparent, as I was standing there and the process was going through and people were being called, I began to break out in tears. And I was there in the driveway crying, and I said something that I asked the Lord for a do-over, and I should never have said it. Everybody's listening, this is good. I said, "It makes me wish, I wish I never entered the ministry if I had to face things like this for my family." Of course, immediately there was conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God got on the police officer and he started preaching at me. He said, "Well, now if you don't go through troubles and trials, then what are you going to be? And you need this." And I'm saying, "Amen, glory to God, praise the Lord." And he started preaching to me and I said, "I preach these same things. I should never have said that." And I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, I just pray if there's another opportunity, will you please just give me the faith to face it and not want to run?" Have you been through a sifter? Have you been through something in your life? Peter did. Peter thought he was so strong that he could face anything and he would never make a mistake. That's the first mistake. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter figures it out. This is Peter writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he writes, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He said, the devil is wandering this world like an old lion. Now, a roaring lion is not a strong lion. A strong lion stops and prowls and pounces. A roaring lion is a lion that's about dead. It's an old toothless lion, and the only thing he's got is a roar to scare them and to frighten them to a position where now he can just come on up and take over. Sometimes the lion's roar is so strong that the animal will drop dead at that moment. I remind you today, the devil is a liar and deceiver, and he's an old roaring lion trying to scare the saints of God into sin, to denial. While there's an intention of Satan, understand this morning, going through a time of sifting, there is an intercession of the Savior. Jesus is praying for you. He is interceding for you. Do you see what Jesus said to Peter? Satan, yes, has gone to the throne, requested permission to sift you, to tempt you, to try you. You're going to go through this time of temptation and trial, but, I love the buts of the Bible, but I have prayed for thee. The Savior said that Satan went, but I also have gone to the throne with a special request. I have prayed for you. The word here, prayed, is that I have prayed, I am praying, and I will pray for you. And understand this morning, in a time of trouble, in a time of temptation, we have an intercessor. We have an advocate. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh yes, the devil may be that prosecuting attorney. The devil may be that adversary. The devil may be that accuser. But standing at the right hand, seated at the right hand of the Father today, is an advocate, is a defense attorney, is someone who is pleading for us, who is praying for us, who is interceding on our behalf. We can face whatever, whenever, just knowing that our Savior is praying for us. What did he pray? He prayed that his faith would fail not. The word here for fail is eclipse. He's praying that the sin wouldn't overshadow his situation and service. That the failure would not be so strong that Peter would just give up. Don't ever give up. Just pray. The encouragement of prayer is someone who's going through a time of trouble, trial and temptation, it is very difficult to pray. There are times in our life that it's hard to connect, and even because of that sin, the Bible says that that his arm is not short and his ears not slack, but your iniquities have separated you between you and God. There are times in our life it's difficult to pray, but understand in those times he is praying for you. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is always there as a mediator. He is always there to plead for us, to pray for us. That is an encouragement this morning. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you had a setback in your life, there's a God up in heaven who intimately cares about you. I wrote this down as a note. You know, nobody is more intimately interested in your spiritual success than your intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody is more intimately interested in your success. Go through the text, we notice there's an invitation to the sinner. He's praying that his faith fail not, and he's praying for a second chance. He's praying after his failure that there would be a future. Do you notice what he prayed? And when thou art converted, I love the fact that he said not if, but when. And when thou art converted, I pray that you would strengthen thy brethren. Simon, you're going to fall. Simon, you're going to fail. But I'm praying that in your future, you would do so much from that failure. You would take that failure and you would turn around from that failure and you would teach others and strengthen others not to go there, not to be down, but to trust him. I'm glad this morning it is never too late to do the right thing. I'm glad this morning, if you can't go too far, you can't do too much, you can't get beyond the grace of God. If you're here today, there is an opportunity right now. You can be converted. And from that conversion, there is not pain and punishment for the rest of your life. There is forgiveness. There is hope. There is a second chance. There is a God that will strengthen you, that will use you and take you from your failure and give you a future. That's the God of heaven. Turn around, teach another. He says, I'm praying for you that you would teach your brethren. You know, you can sin, but God can still use you even after your sin. You can have a failure, but God can still use that failure for your good and his glory. He doesn't want you to sin. Don't get me wrong this morning. He does not want sin, but he can allow and use that sin in your life and that past as a process to strengthen you, to strengthen others. Grain is the only of the plants that has to be properly processed before it can be a blessing to others. You don't eat unprocessed grain unless you're a real health nut and you really enjoy that. Put some honey on it and yogurt, but you really do want to buy bread. Here's what God is doing. God is breaking you. God is molding you. He is baking you. Because one day, you'll be bread. Think about the times in Scripture of those who got a second chance. Samson got a second chance. He revealed his secret of his strength to Delilah, and then he ended up with no sight and no strength, but it's in that position of his life when he had no sight and he had no strength. He depended upon God and did more at his death than all of his life. David got his second chance, who after committing adultery and murder, he lost even his first son, but God gave him a second son who would be Solomon, the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Simon was the son of Jonah. There are many scholars that looked at this and said, well, if he's named son of Jonah, then perhaps that was a family name going back to even the prophet Jonah. Think about Jonah. He got a second chance after going the opposite direction, being swallowed by a whale. He went on to preach repentance and an entire city came to Christ. Micah chapter 7 verse 18, who is a God like unto thee? There is nobody good like God. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? You know, most people, including ourselves, we like to punish iniquity. God wants to pardon iniquity. He passeth by the transgression of the remnant of the heritage. You know, I don't know about you, but there are times it's hard to leave well enough alone. God likes to pass by that transgression. God does not like to bring it up and hold it against you. He wants to pass by it. He retaineth not his anger forever. He doesn't hold on to things. He lets it go. Because he delighteth in mercy. And by the way, if you're someone this morning, it's hard for you to give second chances, just realize today there's a God that gave you a second chance. And the way to help others is to have mercy and not give what is deserved, but delight in mercy. Understand this morning that his mercy, his tender mercies are above all his works. Have forgiveness. Seek reconciliation. Because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, the Bible says. It will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. What is the Bible saying? What is Micah saying? There's a God in heaven that delights in pardoning sin, passing by sin, and when the sin comes before his presence in confession, he doesn't hold it against you. He doesn't beat you down with it. He takes it and he removes it as far as the east is from the west, and he throws it into the depths of the sea of his forgetfulness. That's our God. Finally, we see this indignation of Simon, but later his involvement as we close this morning. Notice verse number 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death. Turn to Luke 22. I want you to see this. I was noticing it as during the scripture reading. The Lord shows you different things. The Lord looks at Simon and says, you're going to fail, but there's a future. And Simon says, no, 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 I am ready. I got this. I'm ready to go with you to prison and even death. He's conceited. He's saying, I'll never deny you. He's careless. Be careful what you say. Peter went both to prison and to death, but he's corrected. Look at verse 34. And Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me, before it is morning. Now, keep in mind, this was late that night. Peter thought he was going to sleep. He did go to sleep in Gethsemane. He says, before you wake up in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. Friend, this morning, there is a heritage in this church. There is a heart. There is a Bible doctrine. There is a holiness. I was just praising the Lord this past Sunday. There may have been, I won't go into detail, you know, there may have been issues with personalities and things like that with different people here and there in the past history of our church. But aren't you thankful that every pastor of our church, members of our church, there has been a holiness. There's been a testimony that's kept of purity. It's something to be thankful for. But understand this morning, just because we have that heritage and have that testimony here at Tabernacle, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We should never come to the point in our life and say, I would never do that. That could never be me. The bravest disciple failed at being brave. Who was the one that stepped out of the boat and walked on the water? Not me. Peter did. Who spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? He was quick at figuring things out. Peter did. Who was the only one later in this passage that would take a dagger against a group of guards? Peter failed at what he was good at. The enemy does not like his wiles to be exposed this morning. What is your greatest strength? The devil's targeting that. to be your greatest weakness. Abraham, his greatest strength was his faith, yet he failed in his faith when he went down to Egypt and lied about his wife. Moses, his greatest strength was his meekness. He was the meekest man of all the earth, yet he lost his temper and had anger against the Israelites. And because of that anger and disobedience, he was not allowed to enter into the promised land. Elijah, what was he known for? He was bold to call down fire from heaven and kill 450 prophets of Baal, but ran when Jezebel threatened his life and hid under a juniper tree. Your greatest strength could be your greatest weakness. Amen. Simon Peter always had a problem with popularity. He liked to be recognized. And when he was recognized, he didn't like it here. He was recognized, but now it was no longer popular to be recognized. He had not faced this before. Before, when he would travel with Jesus, everybody would say, "Hey, that's Peter. Hey, that's the one. That's the entourage." But here, now he's recognized, but it was a time of persecution. He was one that liked to speak and stand out, but when he spoke, his accent betrayed him as a Galilean. And now he was recognized for that. I like the response. While Judas killed himself, Simon corrected himself. Do you see how he fell in this temptation? Notice Luke 22. Look at it if you would, please. Peter says, "I'm not going to deny you." The Lord says, "Yes, you will." Look at verse 35. And he said unto them, "Jesus, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then said he unto them, "But now he that hath the purse, let him take it. Likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this is written that must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." And they said, "Lord, behold, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." Why did Simon Peter take the sword and try to hack that guy's head off? Because he misunderstood what Jesus was saying. He missed out on the next thing that happened. The Lord is speaking spiritually. He's saying, now is it going to be a time of difficulty? Remember before, you had protection. You had everything. You had a bubble, a hedge around you. I said, "Don't bring any money. You're going to be taken care of." Now's the time to get some money. I said, "Don't bring anything for your personal protection." Now's the time to get something for your personal protection. And I can go off here on the Second Amendment, but I won't. But amen for that. He said, now's the time to get that. And now's the time to get these things. And Peter is thinking physically, not spiritually. He says, now you're going to need me more than you ever have before. But Peter's thinking swords. And they pull out two swords. "Is this enough?" And then there at the garden, when the guards come, he pulls out the sword and uses it. Why? Did you see what he missed? Look at verses 39 to 46. He goes to the garden and he falls asleep. And while they are fell asleep, they're probably dreaming about swords. I don't know. But they're there. They have their swords. They're ready to fight. And it's during that time in the garden that Jesus begins to pray. And he's praying and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Angels came and ministered to Jesus. Jesus said two things. What did he say? Watch and pray. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Now, stick with me on this. If Peter had stayed awake, what would he have seen? He would have seen Jesus praying for him, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood for him. He would have seen angels come down from heaven and minister to the Savior. Do you think that could have affected his future and how he responded? Understand today, it's not the physical, it's not the flesh, you need the spiritual. It's not your self-control, you need spirit control. A sword is not enough, a decision is not enough, you need God. And here's Peter, and Peter misses all of that, and that tells us today we need to be in its prayer, we need to be watching and praying. That's why Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter fails, but there's a future. Turn to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter 2, and we'll be done. Acts chapter 2. This time, he's back in the upper room. He's not bragging and boasting. They're praying. The Bible tells us that as they waited upon God and watched for the things of God, the Spirit fell upon them, and they began to supernaturally step out of that place and preach the gospel, and people heard the gospel preached in their own language, and these that were walking about and they were preaching did so with excitement and exuberance, and they were preaching, and people said, "They're drunk." Now, it's not a good thing at 9 o'clock in the morning for somebody to say to you, "There, he's a drunk." This was an insult. Peter very well could have said, "Oh, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to preach anymore." But this time he said, we're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. In fact, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He didn't drop the ball. This time, his do-over, he did it well. He stood up and preached, and 3,000 souls were saved. God gave him a second chance, and he used it. In fact, a little further, 30 years later, he's over by Babylon, and this time the Spirit of God comes upon him again, and he takes out the pen, and guess what he does? He writes out words of encouragement and strengthening to the brethren. He writes to them in 1 Peter, how they are kept by the power of God unto salvation, and that trial that would come in their life would only bring forth glory and for God's good. Go a little further. John 21, verse 18 and 19, Jesus prophesied that when he died, someone would carry him to his crucifixion. John 21, 19, this spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. He had a second chance, a second opportunity to confess Christ and declare Christ all the way to the cross. And this second chance was so powerful and so purposed that God gave him a second chance to die a death glorifying unto himself. Tradition tells us that Peter went to that area and Peter was crucified for Christ. But as he came to that spot where he would be crucified, he did not run, he did not deny, he had one request. He said, turn that cross upside down. I'm not worthy to suffer in the same way as my Savior did. And Peter died, was suffered, bled, and died on a cross upside down. God gave Peter a second chance. The prayer of Jesus was answered. The purpose of Peter's life was revealed. He glorified God. And you can take a second chance today. I knew why Monday happened because I had Thursday. I preached about 200 Durham Rescue Mission folks, and was there preaching, and folks were saved, and it was quite a move of God that night at the rescue mission. And as I began to preach, I said, oh, that's why there's been attacks earlier this week. You can't preach to 200-some men that are under demonic control and not expect something to happen. And as I preached, I prayed, and of course, I shared before, and I shared online as well, but the two men that I had invited to the rescue mission, we sent over there from our street preaching. Really, I was excited about the message, but I was more interested whether or not they're going to be there. I walked in the room and they weren't there. You know, that old devil was throwing that dart. You wasted that trip. All of a sudden, my son says, Marcus is here. I said, it's not Marcus. You're just finding somebody in the crowd. Marcus is here. I looked back. I didn't see Marcus. I said, no, Marcus isn't here, Joey. It's okay. Began to preach. And as soon as I got up, two men came to the front, sit in the front row. And those were the two men that I had brought to the mission. One is left, I believe, from Friday, he left to go home to Wilmington. And he said this, I want to take my second chance. The other said, I'm staying here. I got a job. I want to finish some life skills, and I want to have my second chance. Both are saved. Both are on their way to heaven, and I'm praying every day for their do-over and their second chance. You know, today, God is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. He's praying that you would turn around and teach someone else. He's praying and he's setting up your opportunity for a second chance. Someone put it like this. Don't let your setback just set you back forever. Use it as a setup for a comeback. Amen. You can have your second chance. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Miss Lisa, if you can come and play this morning. I wonder if the Spirit of God spoke to you. Maybe you need to be saved today. There's a second chance. Maybe you've denied Christ and you've not trusted Christ as your Savior. God has given you another opportunity. Can you even believe that? The God of heaven, after you've rejected him before, is giving you another opportunity to receive him today. That's grace. That's mercy. In fact, today, if you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to take my chance today to trust Christ as Savior. I don't want to put it off anymore. I don't want to delay. If the Spirit of God prompted in your heart, would you respond? Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you today. Would you raise your hand and say, pastor, please pray for me. Today is my day. I want to trust Christ as Savior. I'm not going to put it off any longer. Would you pray for me all over this place? Would you slip your hand up real quick? I'll see it. Just slip it up, put it down. I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Maybe you're a believer today and say, there's something I've gone through in my life and I want God to use me in the future. I've had a failure. I want God to use me in the future. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over this place? I've had a failure, but I want God to use me in the future. The piano is playing this morning. Maybe God laid someone in your heart to pray for. Maybe there's something in your life. I wonder if you'd come and just spend time with the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. Use me, Lord. Take my past and point me towards a future. I want to turn around and teach another. I want to be used of you, God. I want a do-over, a second chance. Give me grace to speak for you and stand for you. He's praying for you this morning. He loves you. The altars are open today. Would you pray? Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Spirit is falling this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Close with a word of prayer. Tonight you'll hear more about Ladies Bible Study. It's starting up tomorrow. We're going to promo tonight, if you would. And Miss Tammy Barnes is leading that. And the sign up is in the lobby. So that is starting on Monday at 9 o'clock. We encourage you, if you want to hear more about it, and going through 1 Thessalonians, I believe, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And that's Monday at 9 here at the church. And also tonight, if you are not a Sunday night person, tonight you want to be a Sunday night person. This is going to be a tremendous service. The Lord just worked everything out with where we were in the book of Luke, with what we're going to hear tonight. We're going to hear exactly what we preached on this morning. How a testimony of someone that was given a second chance and is taking his past failure and using it to strengthen families. You don't want to miss tonight. Family Works will be with us. And I know it'll be an encouragement. We do have children's church tonight for those, some of the subject matter and things of that nature. Children's church will be available this evening. But you want to come back this evening at 6 o'clock and hear about Family Works and how God can take the past and give you a future. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer as we are dismissed, and we'll close with that song, The Family of God, in just a moment. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that your grace and your mercy would fall fresh upon us. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so, Lord, I thank you for this church and, Lord, for your word. And, Lord, I pray that if there's one here that has not been saved, Lord, I pray they would not leave here without taking my hand and getting that settled. And, Lord, I pray for those that have made mistakes, Lord, may today, right now, be a second chance, a start, a new start. May this be a rededication Sunday as we rededicate our priorities and our time to you. And, Lord, we give everything to you. And just as you used Peter, David, Samson, Jonah, Lord, you can use each and every one of us again today. So I pray that we leave here in the power of your might, in the power of your spirit, with renewed hope and a new renewed vision for the future. We'll thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Join me as we dismiss. I'm so glad I'm a part.